The point that was being brought up here is the idea of the self-reliance. As soon as you think that I've got it figured out, where as a sheep it is working to be a unified flock, we are all working to be a unified flock.
Sure.
Because we are thinking about it, reading scripture, obeying Christ, doing what he says, we are then presented as this unified flock, not because we're just being herded around. I think that's, you're right. And I don't think that point, that's the point that was being made. So I just think as soon as you decide, hey, I'm not a sheep anymore, I'm a cow, I think that's when it's the problem, right? I'm doing something totally different. I'm being my own thing. That's when I think the analogy starts busting up. So anyhow, yeah.
Maybe along that line, before we leave this topic,
yeah.
As intelligent sheep, we have the opportunity to help our shepherds do those really high and difficult duties that we just talked about. For example, it's unlikely that an elder can have a relationship with us unless we help that to happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like we lay all the burden there on the elders. I don't think that's the way it's going.
Elders should have been doing more.
That's right.
Yeah.
If the elder cared about me, he would have had me in his home. Well,
yeah.
You know, there's probably two sides to
that. They judge elders based on that a lot of times, right? Right?
Yeah.
I haven't been at this house yet.
What could you do?
I haven't been in this house. Anyhow, okay, good. It is a requirement. Yes. Okay. I didn't want to beat it up too long. Let's move on to chapter 11. Chapter 11, we're talking about the rising of Lazarus. It's the last sign before the big, big sign that Jesus does in, as recorded in the book of John. It also includes another one of the I am statements. If you look at the lesson sheet, David has done a great job helping. I think we're just going to follow the lesson sheet today. Lesson sheet today, because I think it helps us walk through the chapter pretty well. I'm going to try to push the second sheet on to Wednesday, because there's a lot to talk about in the first chunk here. So, and we're only going to read 1 through 44, because as David pointed out, it's things change once you get past verse 44. So this week we're going to focus on chapter 11, 1 through 44. So if I could get some readers, please, let's have somebody read 1 through 16. Thank you, Tim. Somebody read 17 through 27. Thank you. Somebody read 28 through 36. 20 to 36. Thank you. And then somebody finish up 38 through 44. Thank you, Janet. Go ahead.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.
When she said this, she wept. She went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?
Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go.
All right, thank you. So a real powerful story. The narrative's pretty straightforward to understand of what happened. We left in chapter 10, Jesus, they were about to stone Jesus because of this whole statement he was making and this whole where he was saying, I and the Father are one, got this Jews worked up. He then leaves and goes across the Jordan. That's where he's at now. That's the setting when we come into chapter 11, where Lazarus is sick and then dies shortly after, and they're trying to get a hold of Jesus. So this messenger came to tell him what was going on, right? What was going on, starting at the beginning of chapter 11. So the questions, I think, pull us through the groups and verses in chronological order, so we'll just go right down through these questions. Question number one, John refers to Mary's anointing of Jesus with the expensive ointment in 11:2 in the past tense, but it's recorded, as we know, in chapter 12. What do you make of that? And, you know, especially when we're thinking about John, who was writing this gospel, what do we make? Why is he talking about it in past tense? Any thoughts there? Yeah.
One thing could be that he's aware of the other accounts, mm-hmm. and they, I think, were written before his.
Mm-hmm.
So he just says, when Jesus speaks about Scripture, the Jews would probably be familiar with it. When John's writing this, mm-hmm. others would probably be familiar
yeah.
with the other gospel accounts.
Yeah, and even John himself, right along with that, that's what I'm thinking too, Jack, is that John's been telling these stories, right? He hasn't written his gospel yet, but he's been telling these stories throughout to whoever he's talking to. So it's like I took it as, you know, you're going to recognize this person that we've talked about in the past, right? Any other thoughts on that? Yes, Rich.
Yeah, he doesn't say who had anointed.
Yeah.
And the whole story's in the past tense, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that she anointed in the past, it was Mary. That's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And the anointing there is just, it's an aorist participle, but that's not the indicative. So I think it's just saying she was the anointer.
Yeah.
Rather than she had anointed.
In the past tense.
Yeah, there's a couple things in the past tense.
So it's the way it's been translated.
Yeah. Well, okay. Even there's no had even in English.
who anointed, that would be the anointed, I guess, is where they're getting that from.
Which, from John's perspective, is in the past.
Right, like everything's in the past. It's not like she's going to anoint.
Yeah, that's a great point. Everything has happened in the past in the way they're telling the story.
You could have said who was about to anoint in the past.
Yeah, and that's what you said. That's what Jack is saying. I just missed that.
Exactly what Jack
was saying. Okay.
All in the past.
Well, both events are in the past, but the anointing is the future of reference to the event with Lazarus. Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
I think we have other phrases like that. Like, it was Judas who betrayed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it hasn't happened yet, like, we get those little, like, you know this guy.
Little narrative comments.
Here's a little, like, side comment just so you can place this person.
Okay. Great. Good. Yeah.
I think that this is just something that helps us, makes it clear that, like Jack said, that there were other accounts, but John is writing to these people that are believers and to help them even more. And, I mean, it seems like just not just this, but the fact that he only has a few of Jesus' miracles recorded, and it's such a different perspective. It all tells the same fact that this is extra. This is like an extra bonus. This is icing on the cake. You know the story, but this is, I'm telling you some more. And I just say that when I was younger, like when I was really young, I just thought it was so weird that we have four accounts of the same thing. And I'm like, what? I don't get it. And, you know, and when people would say, well, it's written to different audiences and blah, 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 I was like, I still don't get it. I don't, you know, and I don't know if it's just because I'm 50 years old now, plus, that I get it, or if it's just I was really dense when I was younger. But
that's why you had to have four different ones, because you were dense.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just another clue to, like, this is not just extra information you don't need. Mm-hmm. This is really,
it's all written
important.
On a purpose, and it was all written on a on
yeah,
purpose.
And even though you know the story about Martha, I'm telling you something more.
And he's helping fill in the pieces on this, the way this is written. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes.
It's just showing the close connection that Jesus has to this family.
That's the other point that's going on there. Thank you for bringing that up, and that'll help us move into question two, is he's building this relationship, right, in the way this these comments are brought up, how Jesus felt about these people, right, and how important they were in his life. Yeah. So let's do that. Unless there's other thoughts on one, let's move to two. After... I didn't look up. I said, any other comments? Okay, good. Question number two. I'm like, any other comments? Okay, let's move to question two. After Mary and Martha sent news to Jesus that Lazarus was ill, Jesus said, this illness does not lead to death. But we know it does. So what's the point Jesus is making there? What's the point Jesus is making?
I don't know if this is the obvious answer, but Jesus knows he's going to raise him from the dead, so that's why he's saying he's going to be fine. He's going to die, but he's going to... I mean, he's not saying that. He's saying he's going to be fine.
Yeah, and the term actually, and Rich, correct me on this, but I think it actually means... even the death means it's a mortal death, right? It's very clear this illness will not lead to mortality. To your point. There may be a higher thing that he's trying to point there. Any other thoughts before I start adding commentary on that? Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Everybody's thinking? I can see the wheels turning from here.
He could have just said it's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing it on his timetable, and there is a powerful lesson there. To be patient, and whether the kind of death it is, it is a deep study. But the bottom line is, as I read to you this morning, you know, He had to be specific who was healing, because he could have healed a million people, right, with one. So it's a narrow description, and it does fill in a powerful part.
Who did you quote? Who did you quote? Who was that you quoted? He quoted some writer of the time. He said Jesus had to be specific on what person, because everybody would have been Rosa.
He just says, I heal, I heal y'all.
Yeah.
He could do it that way, but that's not how it went at all.
Yeah, and you're moving into question three, which is okay, this whole thing with patience, because I think there's something to talk about there on Jesus doing on his timetable. But on back on two, what is some other thoughts on this? This when he's saying this illness doesn't lead to death.
So I'm thinking, and obviously mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing here and adding some commentary, but to me it seems like this incident of him being ill does not ultimately lead to his mm-hmm. death.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was going with. Where does it actually lead to? It leads to God's glory. God,
absolutely.
this glorious event that's going
to
happen.
To demonstrate his
yeah.
glory.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
For context, this isn't the only person that Jesus raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an audience here that this family seems connected to people from Jerusalem, right? And maybe even in elite circles or something like that. The setup is important because he's healed other people, but this is like everybody's watching, right? It's like mm-hmm. Gandhi broke lots of laws, but mm-hmm. when he walked 80 miles to the beach and picked up salt in 2 weeks, all the world had time to get focused on him. And maybe that's Gandhi was copying Jesus.
Yeah, and Thomas picks up on that of what does it mean even from Jesus going back to Judea, right? He left with threat of being stoned and put in prison, and he's coming back. Like I do a lot, you guys can accuse me of this, overgeneralizing, a lot of the accounts of him going into Judea earlier in John, you can tell he wasn't quite ready to be there yet, right? He wasn't quite ready to be there yet. This is the one time where we're reading in this where it's very purposeful. He's going there to do this. There's this, we're going to talk about in a few minutes about this whole, where he's talking about, but if anyone walks in the night, walks in the day, what does that mean? There's some real meat to take out of this of what Jesus is doing. It's very purposeful what he's doing. The whole world is watching, as Rich said, and it is time for him to start moving to do what his actual job was, eventual job was, right, which was to die on the cross. Were you going to say something, David?
Death. From a human perspective, death is final. I mean, we're never going to see that person mm-hmm. again on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until we die, maybe go to heaven, those kinds of things, but we're not going to see that person. So he's saying, and he has this exchange later with his disciples about falling asleep, and okay, he died.
Mm-hmm.
But, so he actually says he died later on,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the end in this case. That's not the permanent condition of Lazarus, and that I think basically what I was referring to. I mean, he's kind of teasing this whole thing out. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not, he knows he's going to die
mm-hmm.
in the eyes of everyone. He's going to be in the tomb 4 days. So there's, to everybody's view of that, every human's view, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But he says it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he's speaking of something beyond that, of course, he's going to raise him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Great point. Any other thoughts on that question? Let's move into question three. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, as we've been talking about with this relationship. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. How was staying longer a loving thing to do? And I think my dad was starting to hint on that. Why is, if he really loved them, why does it say he waited two more days? He stayed two more days. If Jesus loved them. Yeah, Aaron and then...
Well, in verse 4, it says it's for the glory of God so that the Son may be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
He had to make sure that Lazarus was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And not only to die, but to be in the tomb 4 days. Like, he's really, really dead. Not, you know... like,
mostly dead.
Not like the mostly day they put him in there and somebody made a mistake and he wasn't really dead. You know, like...
There's no question.
Real deal.
Like in the spy movies, you take the pill,
yeah.
Your heart rate slows down, everybody thinks you're dead, you get shipped out the back, you escape prison or whatever you're in, and you're going to be a spy again.
Exactly.
Take a pill.
Yeah,
Angie?
No, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's all very... I've said this before. Sometimes I think we like to complicate things. And there are times for that, and there are deep, deep thoughts. But I don't think this seems very complicated.
Yeah.
Jesus knew what he needed to do. He knew what the people needed to see. Mm-hmm. He stayed there 2 days longer, like Aaron said, to make sure they knew he was going, he's dead, really dead. And yeah. So he's bringing him back. And we know all about the figurative death and life and spiritual death and physical death and all that. But it's just kind of plain. Like, this was the point.
I agree with you, but there is one important point, and I'll just give a hint. Why say he loved them and then say he waited 2 days?
So two things. One, I think, might be at least a part of that. But A, he also needed to wait. There are other Jews that come around to console them to also then witness this miracle. So that's going to help spread the message of who he is. But I think also, I mean, my father died like in our house when I was in high school. And that's a very shocking, you were like numb, kind of walking around in this cloud. And I think to have two big things happen like so quickly together, A, it gives them a little time to digest and make some sense of it. If someone dies and then all of a sudden some other crazy thing happens right afterwards, people may not believe it because, well, you were hysterical, you were whatever. I think this gives a little bit for it to tamper down just a bit so that then when people talk about it, it's not like, well, you were in the heat of the moment, you got no idea what you're talking about. So I think that also allows all those things to happen to where you can't really refute somebody says, I was there. You can't argue with that unless you just choose not to believe.
Yeah, and part of the Jewish in this time was there was a mourning period, too, after it. Rich, and then I'm going to get to what I was getting at. My point is really simple. I'm just seeing if you guys are going to say it.
So in terms of overcomplicating, I think we're overcomplicating the math. He waited 2 days, but he'd been in the tomb 4. So Jesus wasn't going to get there before he died.
Yeah, the distance away is correct. That's correct.
So yeah. Jesus staying longer?
Yeah.
Didn't make him die. I mean, Mary and Martha said, if you'd been here, but he wasn't going to be there. He was dead for 2 days.
Most of the commentaries that build all that timeline, we don't even know exactly where he was across the Jordan, but if you look at all the scenarios, he probably was dead when the messenger first left, is the short answer. By the time the messenger left, he was already dead. So the time it takes back, they were never going to make it. The only point that I'm going to try to make up, I'll just hit it. You guys can disagree with me on this. I think he may be bringing it up just to say, hey, it wasn't because of a lack of love. He loved these people, and he waited 2 days. Even if Rich says he wasn't going to make it, I could agree with that. But I think the point John's trying to make is it's not because if he loved them more, he would have been more ready to leave and get there right away. He loved these people. It wasn't because of that or a lack of love. He didn't just jump and run, right? Is that point? See what I'm trying to say there? I think that's the only little nuance I'm getting out of this. And maybe I'm just me, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just curious, in the text. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, period. Mm-hmm. So, comma, is in English, when we read that, we think they're... The so means, like, look at the previous. Is that what's...
I don't know.
Or are they too... Just, that was a statement? Yeah. Moving on.
If I'm writing it, I think it is important that he's stating up this love that's going on as we're moving into that, because that plays into the story.
I'm just asking if that first sentence has anything to do with the second sentence, just because there's a so in our text.
Yeah, we would say it's a cause and effect if we use the word so like
but
that.
But I'm questioning whether or not that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need a scholar that knows...
They're all back there like the judges in the field.
Let's check in with the brain trust in the back.
Every Greek sentence has to have some connector to tell you what the connection is. Mm-hmm. It's usually the second word in a sentence, the post-positive particle. So you've got the word the, and then you've got then. And there are a lot weaker connections that could be there besides then. But it isn't necessarily really strong. Mm-hmm. There are stronger connections, so I don't know.
That's fine.
That doesn't help.
It's fine. That's what we're just talking. Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
Ultimately, the fact is he's going to raise him from the dead. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, and I think the whole point of this whole thing, is that John's recording this, and Jesus is doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason is loving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, more people are going to believe because he did this, including Mary and Martha, apparently, because they had some doubts.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't fully invested in Jesus as being the Son of God, apparently, because their language gets that away later on. So ultimately, it's a loving thing. Sometimes the things we see in our timeline
great point, and I think that tying back with what my dad said earlier, which I got out of this question too, is we always want to put our own timeline on it. If you guys were wondering, why isn't he leaving right away or whatever, like I was when I first read this, we got to realize that there's another timetable. I think we could do a whole class just on looking at, I think, what my dad brought up, which is why does God wait on these things? Who is in control? The whole Bible is full of delays, if you think about it. What are we delayed right now waiting for? Yeah, right? We're all on, the Bible is always going on what God's plan is, not on what our plan is. So to read anything in this other than God's in control, Jesus is doing it on his own timeline, I think is reading into too much to it, right? But I just think it's interesting when you, like even when you look at Paul, what was Paul delayed in doing what he wanted to do? Rome. Say that again?
Go to Rome.
Yeah. Yeah, Spain too, right? Talk about delays throughout. The apostles, even in the Old Testament, you hear of delays going on. Things are just always done in God's timeline, not in our timeline. So, yeah.
So, what I see there is just a continual example of Jesus, even though he's in the human form. So, he loves these people from a human standpoint, mm-hmm. not just from the God standpoint of loving mm-hmm. our souls. He's still doing his Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be hard for him, humanly, to watch these people go through this from a human standpoint because he loves them mm-hmm. like that as a man.
Mm-hmm.
But his ultimate is to glorify God, and that's part of God's plan. So he's going to do this. He's going to wait that extra 2 days. He's gonna follow that plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Great point, Heather. Yeah.
Sometimes we have to do things that we don't necessarily want to do to the people that we love the most because it glorifies God or it's, you know, to align our will with God. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is doing the same thing maybe here.
Yeah.
Easier for him to stay.
Yeah. And I think Rich brought that up in the last class, that you see Jesus doing completely everything he's doing is showing that he's believing in the Father. It's all about the Father. It's all about subjection to the Father. Always doing what God's. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, Rich, but that's the whole point I think you were trying to make. Is that
Jesus said, "I and the Father are one."
Yeah. He's always in subjection to that. Always in subjection to that, which I think is just such a powerful message that we're getting overtone in John. Yeah.
And to put a conclusion on your point that mm-hmm. God does things on his timeline, just because his timeline is not our timeline does not mean that he doesn't love us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm Isaac waiting mm-hmm. for the son of, you know, who's been promised, or Abraham, or, you know, whomever I am, and I'm praying for something, just because God's timeline isn't mine doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. And that's still, even though I know that, it's still hard to understand sometimes.
Yeah.
And in my life.
Yeah, Lazarus was still raised.
Yeah.
Right? It was on his timeline. So it's something we got to remember. God does not answer our prayers the way we think it should be answered, I think is an important point. Okay, any other thoughts on that before we move on? That's a good talk. Good talk. All right, next. Giggling at me. Easy to do. My staff gave me, sorry, side note. My staff, guess what my staff gave me for Christmas? A little bobblehead of my actual likeness.
Is that like me or not?
Is that a compliment or a criticism?
I think that's why they're giggling, because I'm like a bobblehead.
Yeah, well, people know.
A little bit of a bobblehead. Anyways, all right. Question number 4. And I think this is getting to more of this point of Jesus's what Jesus is here to do, right? This verses 7 through 16 discuss the exchange between the disciples and Jesus, note their concern for Jesus's safety, which we talked about, and probably their own, explain Jesus's response, walking in the day compared to walking in the night, what does that have to do with the situation, the disciples' continuing failure to understand Jesus's figurative language, Jesus' statement, "I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe," and Thomas's faith and courage. So let's ask the first one first, which is explain this response. Jesus' response to them is this walking in the day compared to walking in the night. What's the point he's trying to make there with them? Yeah, Rich?
I really have no idea, but it looks like he's saying, don't worry about it. It'll mm-hmm. be daylight. But he's going to be killed, so it's not like that. I don't know that can be what he means. So
this is probably this has been thought, so it's kind of a thought cloud, merging thought clouds. I kind of believe there's kind of two things going on here. That's why it's hard to know exactly. There's this continuing light and darkness comparison that he's been making of him being in the light and then what that means against the darkness. He's starting to interject into this part, what do we do during the day versus what do we do during the night? I don't know. I don't want to give it away. Here's some more thoughts.
I was kind of thinking, I mean, first he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? And so I think he's saying, like, when it's working time, it's working time. Mm-hmm. So
that's where I was like, going with it. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do my work when it's time to work.
Yeah.
And I think his point about day and night is simply him saying, I'm walking in the, I am the light. So when I'm, nothing I can do is, I'm not going to stumble because I am, whenever I'm working, I'm doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And when people aren't doing God's work, it's not, it doesn't really matter what time of day it is. They're in the dark, mm-hmm. not in the light.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Brady? I like what she said.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just to tack on to that, I'm sorry that I'm going to drag you back into chapter 9.
That's okay. It's okay. But it makes it better when you go like this.
I know. So there's some big similarities, though, there, right? Because he says in chapter 11, it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Mm-hmm.
Before he heals the blind man, he says, it's not that this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Sounds off a lot like that. We must, and then to Aaron's point, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing that he said before he healed the blind man.
Yeah.
To Aaron's
point. Yep. Great point. Are we out of time?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you. That's why you were giggling, because we were running out of time. All right, thank you.
That's exactly why we were giggling,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you. Good discussion.